United States versus Peterson. Mr. Walashansky.
Good morning. My name is Alex Walashansky, and I represent Larry Peterson. Mr. Peterson was charged with two counts of a felon in possession. He had been convicted previously. On April the 10th, there's a certain series of events that take place. He is spending the night at a friend's home. At approximately 3 a.m., they have an uninvited visitor with a gun. The visitor turns out to be a gentleman by the name of Andre West. Andre West had a pending federal drug trial in Michigan, the state of Michigan, and the friend with whom Mr. Peterson was staying, Juanita Bradley, happened to be listed as a witness against West in that Michigan trial. West came in, he had a gun, he threatened to kill the witness unless she didn't cooperate with the government, something to this effect. A struggle took place between West, this uninvited visitor, and my client, Mr. Peterson. Mr. Peterson disarmed him, and with the gun that he brought into the place, shot the man. He was shot. West was shot. West dropped another gun, according to my client, at that house. And then after he was shot, he ran out of the house. He left two guns behind, the gun that he came in and was shot with, another gun that he had on him. My client went outside. He sees a car idling outside at 3 in the morning. He goes up to the car. He sees another man run out. He assumes, therefore, this is the car that brought West to the scene. In that car, he finds a shotgun. So now he's got two shotguns, two handguns. He directs Miss Bradley to get rid of one of the weapons, which they put in a garbage can in an adjoining home. And he and Bradley and someone else goes on to a different city at a motel to spend the night because, quite frankly, he doesn't know if this is the only attacker or just the first wave. He leaves. Now, the police arrest him the next day at the motel, and they find there the shotgun that was taken from the automobile, according to my client, and they find the small handgun that was dropped by Mr. West when he was inside the home when all this took place. Now, in count two, he's arrested a month later.
This is your story of what happened, but the district judge didn't believe your client.
My client didn't testify. Juanita Bradley testified.
He didn't believe Ms. Bradley.
Pardon me?
He didn't believe her.
I understand. That's true. He did not believe her.
So what's the basis for your appeal?
My appeal is, there's two issues. One is that the circumstances of count one was used as relevant conduct in the count two charge to which he pled guilty. And it elevated the number of handguns from...
I understand why you're appealing. I'm asking what the basis for your appeal is.
The basis of my appeal is, number one, the district court judge, in my opinion, made an error in determining that the circumstances of count one were outside the heartland and did not give my client the benefit of even considering a downward departure on that issue. Case law indicates that if the district court judge does not depart downward, you're without jurisdiction to review that. But if the district court judge makes an error in terms of determining whether a case is or is not within the heartland, that is reviewable by your honors and can be remanded for resentencing. I guess the point I'm trying to make here is, had you or I done this, saved a federal witness from, death perhaps, we'd have been heroes. But unfortunately, Mr. Peterson's conduct gave him no additional benefits whatsoever in terms of sentencing, and in fact took away his acceptance of responsibility points and caused him to be enhanced by a couple of more points because of an obstruction of justice, which, if I understood the trial court, came from the fact because the trial court did not believe Ms. Bradley.
So not believing her, why would he want... I don't understand your departure argument. Why would he depart? What base would he have to depart downward if he didn't believe Bradley?
If he didn't believe Bradley, there was more than enough independent evidence there that the government conceded that, yes, Mr. West was a defendant in a Michigan trial. Yes, Ms. Bradley was a witness listed in that trial. And yes, this West came into the home at 3 in the morning. My client saved the federal witness from harm, if not death. And I think these factors were simply not taken into consideration by the district court in formulating his sentence, especially the issue that he felt, and I, you know, I read the guidelines. There's nothing.
But this was argued to Judge Lozano, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Well, he decided he wasn't moved by the argument. Well, I don't see how that restores our jurisdiction. What legal error did he make?
There was two sentencing transcripts. I believe it's on page 15 of the second transcript, and it's in my reply brief. There's a statement by the court to the effect that he believed this case was within the heartland. I suggest that it is not within the heartland. You can review the sentencing judge, the trial court judge, on whether or not he made that decision correctly. And if you decide that it is outside the heartland, it goes back to remand. And if he chooses not to depart, I don't think we can argue that fact. But I think that the fact that he should be required to acknowledge that the Sentencing Commission could never, ever have anticipated a set of facts like this. I don't see it, and I've reviewed, you know, if not every provision, most of them. This is an unusual circumstance. It's certainly something to take.
She went off with West afterwards, didn't she?
She delivered him to the motel in Hammond.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like someone who's afraid of being killed by him.
No. No, I'm sorry. Miss Bradley did not go with West. Miss Bradley drove my client, Mr. Peterson, to a motel in a different city.
She didn't have any contact with West?
West ran away. After he was shot, he ran away. West's wife came back to the house later that night looking for him. No, Miss Bradley never went with West. She was afraid of him. She didn't cater to the fact that someone comes to their home with a weapon. My client is being denied, you know, acceptance of responsibility based on the fact that the judge believes that the witness is lying. My client never perjured himself. He didn't testify in this hearing, Judge. He presented a witness, and if the witness's testimony is disbelieved, I suppose that's one thing. But it gets into a Sixth Amendment chilling argument here. The idea that if you disagree with the government at sentencing and you propose a theory that the government disagrees with, and the sentencing judge doesn't buy your argument, you're losing all kinds of credits. And I've had clients say, I'd rather not say anything than for fear of being found that I wasn't telling the truth. We don't have a polygraph on that witness chair. We don't always know if it's true or not.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to reserve some time.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Wolosansky. Mr. Baker?
May it please the Court, I'm Andrew Baker on behalf of the government. Unfortunately, there are a couple errors in the government's brief I'd like to point out. One is the statement on page 5 that Bradley drove West to the motel. She drove Peterson, the defendant. The second one is the defendant pointed out, not that it makes any difference, he was arrested on May 25th in Gary, Indiana in a car, not at Bradley's home, but he admitted to possessing the gun that it was at that time in Bradley's home. The third thing is the government states, our brief states, that the defendant did not mention guideline section 5K2.11 in this court or below.
Where is that? What page is that? Just so we can...
Pardon me? That's on page 15. Says the government, the defendant didn't mention that. He did to both this court and the court below, and I apologize for that error. The defendant's case was within the heartland because the facts found by the district court are that the defendant possessed, before West came into the house illegally, the shotgun and pistol from the April 10th date. He found the district court, in not believing Bradley and disbelieving that assertion, found that he had already possessed those guns apart from West. Therefore, the assault by West had nothing to do with that offense, conduct in violation of law. What he got a pass on because of that was the Tech 9mm that was actually taken from West and with which West was shot, that Peterson directed his girlfriend Bradley to dispose of the next day. And the government submits that these findings of fact are not clearly erroneous, and that the court properly then refused to depart, considered its grounds for departure, but found facts As the court did in the Powell case cited in our brief, that indicated it understood its discretion to depart, the grounds for departure, exercised that discretion not to depart, and that's unreviewable. For the same reason, the court properly denied the acceptance of responsibility and the enhancement for obstruction of justice for statements that were found to be false by the court to probation about the existence of the gun, the same statements that he repeated to the court at sentencing later on about the gun coming from, the shotgun coming from the car, and the handgun being dropped by Williams when none of the other witnesses in their statements to the police mentioned that, and the court found that was not credible. For the reasons set forth in our brief, we would ask that the judgment be affirmed, unless you have any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. Wallace Ansky, how much time does he have?
Just so there's no misunderstanding, there's two different sets of similar weapons. There's a handgun and a shotgun that are taken from the defendant or the appellant on April 10th. There's a second handgun and a second shotgun, two different weapons that were taken from him on May the 25th, months later when the police were serving the warrant for the previous offense. And my point is that he's accepted responsibility for the guns that he was found with, and he's simply asking the court to give him credit either through finding that it's not in the heartland, the circumstances of this case, or otherwise, for acceptance of responsibility and no obstruction of justice on his part, because he's not the one to testify. It was someone that testified for him that he, quite frankly, had little or no control over what this lady said. There was a...
He did call her as a witness, though.
Yes, we did. I called her as a witness. There was a... The trial court judge, I recall, there was a circumstance where her testimony at the hearing seemed to differ from a statement she made to the police at the scene. And at the scene, she said that it was she who removed the gun from West and hid the first Tech 9. And in reality, she was trying to protect a friend of hers who had been a felon, who was also at or near the scene at the time. And she honestly told the court that it was this other person that had done it the first time. And that was the only, as far as I could see, inconsistencies between those two descriptions of the events by her.
And you
Thank
were aware
you.
Of that before you put her on the stand.
Pardon me?
You were aware of that before
I was not aware of that. I was not aware of that. That came out during the course of her testimony. Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Washington. You were appointed, were you not?
I was.
Yes. Well, the court thanks you for your vigorous effort.
Very well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baker, and the court will be in recess. Further notice.